Hey friends, today's special episode of Adventures in Design is brought to you by Pitney Bowes. What this is comment below. Me and my best friend Sean, who lives over in the United Kingdom, we get together once a week and look at pop culture. The last couple of weeks, we've been focusing very hard on Bucky and the Falcon because this is what we've been watching the most. And you know, right now it's been a little bit hard to find some quality TV, some quality entertainment, as Hollywood is trying to catch up with all the delays from the pandemic that we all lived through the last year, or shall we say, the snap that we all just went through. Either way, this is a show that shows up each and every Monday exclusively for Circle of Trust members, but today we wanted to share it with you. So I hope you enjoy this special presentation of Comment Below with my good friend Sean Moore, brought to you by Pitney Bowes. I had to hit record. What in the fuck are you wearing over there?
Just, and this is a year into never seeing anybody. So,
Sean, there we go. Let me just give you a heads up.
Yeah.
Wait, do you mind saying your age on the recording?
Yeah, of course. 38.
Okay, so you are about 38 minus 21. is 17. You are 17 years past being able to wear a basketball jersey, my friend.
Okay, that's totally fair enough. What if it's only in the house, though?
Well, that's true. I am coming into your home on a Sunday evening before you and Ruth watch cop show, sexy cop show.
Exactly. It's, you know, it's not even warm outside. It's just, we're a year in. I'm letting it all hang out a year in. Fuck that. I ain't getting dressed up for no one.
What jersey is that for?
It's the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, Mark. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. And how many tattoos do you have now? You're looking like, well, I won't say.
Go on.
No, go on. How many tattoos do you have now? Your pandemic
four,
look.
Just four. I had one booked in, but then obviously all this happened. So I would have expected to have had more than that, but yeah, four. Yeah.
Is there a goal? Do you want to get sleeved? I mean, do you?
I would like to probably fill a fair portion of this arm up. And yeah, then I'm happy to kind of maybe just get like one more on here. Like, yeah. I don't mind really. I honestly don't really. I haven't thought about it. There's no plan.
If I could redo tattoos, I would get only black tattoos, like no color.
Yeah.
And
I get that.
I would get them all up and down my arms, just floating from each other. Because my friend Amir has all black tattoos. They just kind of float around each other. Like, he didn't get like little stars and dots connecting everything. And he looks like a killer. And I think that the best tattoo look is like Robert De Niro in Cape Fear, right? Like, I think that is the best look you could go for.
Yeah, I agree. Those floating kind of like, so your arm just looks like Flash. Is great. Yeah, I agree. I would like that for this, just like a bunch of like kind of like smaller pieces and just to kind of like get people to work around stuff. But I didn't expect to kind of like have 18 months off.
And no, I mean, nobody did.
I haven't even thought about it. That's the thing. It's like, it's not like I'm thinking, oh shit, like I've got this tattoo booked and what am I going to do? I've just like not even thought about it. I'm just like, whatever. It all seems trivial now, if I'm being honest.
So much does. But hey, good news. My life has started to feel, I mean, good news for me. My life has started to feel somewhat normal. I'm going to give you a workaround. Thursday, out at the park all day.
Yeah.
Saturday, went to the movies with my friends. We rented out a movie theater and we saw Nobody, the new movie from Bob. Help me with his last name.
Odenkirk.
I'll just say this because there's, you describe the movie, you kind of give it all away. I'll just say this. All of us went to see it. Everybody was coupled up. Everybody fucking loved it. Like, everybody loved it.
I think, you know, I haven't seen it. It's not coming out over here for a while. I'll be honest. Like, I bet if it was just kind of like one of, say, 100 movies you see at the theater, you probably wouldn't like it as much. But I bet that was a special experience.
Well, for me, it was awesome because it was my first ever new movie. Because we've rented the movie theaters back in the fall when that was allowed in California. We rented out the movie theater so, you know, 10 friends would go sit all apart, you know, wear a mask when we're in the movie theater and stuff. And we saw like Beetlejuice and we saw some of the holiday movies. But this was our first ever, well, my first. They all went and saw the Christopher Nolan movie, but I had to work that night. I had to do one of my 13th of the month streams, but this was my first new movie in a theater in over a year. And yeah, I will say this, disposable movie, no need to make a second one, but the first one, really, really fast, 90 minutes, really fun, easy to get into, and just no BS. We don't have to spend a lot of time establishing the relationships between the characters. We're going to explain it to you in about 2.5 minutes, and then we're just going to go down one path for the duration of the rest of the 90 minutes.
Yeah, that's what these, like, you know, this film wouldn't exist without John Wick.
No, it's in that genre, and, for sure.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, like, they're not the best movies of all time, but I love those films.
Fast watch.
Like, they're exactly what you say. They're just exactly. It's just easy watch. Like it's great, man. Like, really good. And I'm well up for this. I like Bob Odenkirk. Everything I've seen him in has been great, and I'm excited to see it. And I won't be seeing it in a cinema, but that's okay.
Actually, Sean and I created a wager about that. I think maybe you and I placed this bet like 15 years ago. I'm gonna play an old recording of Sean and I placing a bet, and today I'm gonna call even on that bet. Here it goes. Here's a clip from like 15 years ago. Sean and I recording the podcast 15 years ago.
15.
Yeah, 15. You know, Sean, I'm gonna say out of Mr. Show, I know it seems like right now David Cross is the one that's going to be the most successful because of all the work that he's got on Arrested Development, but I still think that Bob Odenkirk might pull out in front. I'm still thinking, no way, mate. There's no way. David Cross, how would you bet against him? This guy's in first place by a fucking country mile. No fucking way, mate. I'll give you a night with my wife if I ever get one. All right. If that's what you want to wager, that's what I'll take. So, Sean, that's a bet that you and I placed 15 years ago. Should I slide over and watch Sexy Cop Show tonight?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Come over. We'll tape it for you. It's all good. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. I was foolish. I really was. I wish I'd seen, like, of all the Arrested Development people to bet on, David Cross wasn't the one. But never mind. He's been okay, hasn't he?
Yeah,
maybe not.
I saw him doing a YouTube video the other day, so I don't know where it's going. David Cross is one of those guys that seems like he fights against success. Like he seems like an artist. He seems like he's maybe difficult, like not difficult to work with, but his vision and how he wants things to go maybe slightly difficult. Also on Getting Back to Normal News, Sean, I got my first vaccination shot on Friday.
Yeah, so I mean, I saw Beth's stories. And the kind of like story behind that. So I wondered whether that was kind of like to do with Beth's autoimmune thing or whether it was anything to do with that. But that's good that you both got a chance to do it. How are you feeling?
Feeling pumped? There's always a story behind everything, and I'm holding on to that story for Friday's Hammer Time. So TGIF.
That makes me feel less important than them, which is fair. And true. So I guess it's only right. So never mind.
I know that right now I need you and I to get into Bucky Falcon because if we go down this road,
you need it.
We're not going to make Sexy Cop Show at 1 p.m., whatever time that is in the snicket.
We've got time. We've got an hour. That's more than enough time.
And
No, that's totally fine.
And those creeps, I think all of those guys are a shot in, but maybe 2 weeks ahead of me. Except for Tavo. Tavo really holding on and keeping those minority statistics accurate on not being one that has a shot yet.
Why is he not doing it? Is he against it? Or, you know,
no, he's a sweetheart and the rest of us are white criminals. he's a sweetheart. He's too good of a person and the rest of us are just fucking selfish villains. So
yes. I can see that. Yeah. I can totally see that. Well, congratulations, man.
Thank you.
I hope you feel better. I genuinely, like, there has been a kind of a lot of backlash to people getting vaccines kind of seemingly early.
Yeah.
Like I noticed it online where people said, I've got my vaccine, and there's people like inquiring about it, but not in a kind of like, oh, that's cool. Like inquiring about it in a kind of like, why the fuck have you got one?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And why not? Like a why not me kind of thing.
Well,
and I'm just like, I don't care about this. Like amazing. Like anybody and everybody who gets it, brilliant. More power to you.
Well, if you talk to the state of California, I'm recovering from both.
Okay.
Just between us, mate.
Yeah, that's totally fine. That's all good. I wondered, you did look a little rough, so that makes sense. I hope it cures them too as well.
Well, what's your excuse then? All right, so let's jump into this. Hey friends, today's episode of Comment Below with Sean Mort is brought to you by your friends Pitney Bowes with SendPro Online. Shipping and mailing from your desk has never been simpler than with SendPro Online from Pitney Bowes. With SendPro Online from Pitney Bowes, it's just click, send, and save for as low as $4.99 a month, where you can send envelopes, flats, and packages right from your desk, and you are back to business in no time at all. And for being an Adventures in Design listener, you'll receive a free 30-day trial to get started and a free 10-pound scale to help ensure that you never, ever overpay again. You're going to save time. You're going to save money on mailing and shipping with SendPro Online. It starts at just $4.99 a month, and it'll help you qualify for special USPS rates for letters and priority mail shipping. So go to pb.com to access the special offer for a free 30-day trial, plus a free 10-pound scale to help you get started. And the best part about this is when you go online, you can match all the different carriers with your specific address that you're shipping to make sure you're paying exactly the amount you need to pay. No more overpaying, no more wasting money on shipping. And if you have a web store and you're charging a little shipping and handling, this will make sure that you handle that shipping rate appropriately and you never ever overpay, allowing you to make a little bit of extra money for putting all of your packages together for your customers. So if this sounds like a great deal to you, I'd recommend going to pb.com/design to access this special offer for a free 30-day trial plus a free 10-pound scale to help you get started. That's pb.com/design. Experience shipping made simple with a free trial of SendPro Online from your friends at Pitney Bowes. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go in as far as we can get on Bucky Falcon episodes 1 and 2. I just watched episode 2. I have to say, out of the gate, way more of a fan of episode 2 than episode 1.
Okay.
Tonally, they were both different. And that's going to happen when you have different directors doing a season. And I think tonally they were different, but I think I enjoyed episode 2 better. Episode 1 didn't completely suck me in. The last episode kind of got me a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think although the first episode was good and there was a lot of setup kind of thing, it's a natural tendency because having seen WandaVision as well, it was my natural tendency to think they aren't going to do this. They're not going to go all the way. They're going to kind of pussy out at the end kind of thing or whatever. And it feels as though, I've been watching episode 2 now, that they are going to do all the things that I hoped that they would do and all the things that it seemed as though they were going towards. It feels as though they're going to do all of that stuff. And I'm like, if they're going to do all of that, like, you know, all of the kind of like the race baiting stuff, the Colin Kaepernick stuff,
yeah,
like amazing, like more power to them. Like that's what this show should be, like having seen it now, like and great. Absolutely great.
So if you're going to go there on how they're leaning into race and where we were at culturally in 2020, when I'm assuming that a lot of this was being worked on and hopefully laying a solid foundation for a future where it's almost like if you're a racist piece of shit, you're no longer going to be able to enjoy the Disney parks or enjoy their content, and they're cool with that. And I fucking vouch for that 1000%, but there was a little inconsistency that I noticed, and I don't know how much this was sloppy writing or maybe it was purposeful. Help me unpack this before we bring on our third host, Charlie. Falcon is walking down the street, right?
Yeah.
And a little kid goes, "Yo, man, Black Falcon." Okay.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, "I'm Falcon." And he goes, "My daddy says you're Black Falcon." He goes, "Why?" "Because I'm black. Are you a black kid?" And then his bud laughs at him and they snicker and he keeps walking down the street, establishing I'm the Falcon. You don't need to call me the Black Falcon. However, at the end of that visit to Baltimore, he actually says, what? There was a black super soldier and nobody told me? Was that guy a black super soldier or was he a fucking super soldier? Are you the Falcon or are you the Black Falcon? I found that to be a very interesting choice of words inside of the same scene. You know, I mean, I know that they're not actually still standing out on the street, but inside of that one little story where they visit Baltimore, right after he'd schooled the kid, he just called that guy a black super soldier.
I guess I hadn't really thought about it that way. And I guess I'm not going to try to explain it away at all because I'm a little bit unsure of it. But I guess what the Falcon, what Sam is trying to say there is kind of like, you know, we just want to kind of all be treated equal. And he's kind of envisioning, and the first episode kind of lent in on this as well, is that he was kind of feeling like he doesn't see his race as a problem.
Right.
Even though he obviously does, but on the surface level, he doesn't see it as a problem. And obviously all of the stuff that happens subsequently has just kind of helped to emphasize the issue and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a strange one. I guess I haven't really thought about it. I don't see it as an inconsistency though. I feel like there's a good reason for that.
But I mean, I understand that he was saying contextually, you mean that in the 50s, they did this to a black person and nobody made me aware of this, almost as if, you know, that, you know, me and War Machine maybe aren't some of the first like special or not special, but, you know, the first, you know, people of color that are Avengers are on that path. So I understand that, but I just found it interesting to like that sort of cultural inconsistency, because I'm trying so hard to break a lifelong pattern that I was taught as a kid, both by parents, older adults, other kids in the neighborhood, teachers. When I tell a story, I'm trying very hard not to be like, oh no, you know, the black guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying not to use that as a description, because my entire life, if you tell a story, you go, oh no, you know, the black guy, or the black guy that went into the store. Like, it's been such an easy cheat to describe somebody that I'm trying to get away from. And when I saw that life lesson on the streets of Baltimore in this episode, I'm like, oh, that's cool. But then a minute later, I'm like, oh, you mean there was a black super soldier? Like, I just found that to be like, we're trying, but nobody's perfect.
Don't you think he's just Sam there is kind of like looking out. He almost doesn't want, I think what he's saying there is he doesn't want to be kind of like the first guy. You know what I mean? Like, sure. He's like, obviously he's uncomfortable with being Captain America. He gave the shield back and it's because of race. So he's saying like, you know, I don't want to be the kind of like the poster child for black people being held up in that way. He just wants it to be a kind of like a normal person. But so I can kind of understand, I guess, why he would think, oh, if somebody had kind of like blazed that trail before him,
right,
he might feel more comfortable. He might feel better and stuff like that. So you're right. Like, he doesn't want it to be about race, and he's trying to kind of make it not about that. But that's because of his insecurities as well, because obviously he's not admitting that he gave, and like he's said as much, but he's not like admitted out loud that that's why he is doesn't want to be Captain America anymore, or why he chose to kind of like give the shield back. But yeah, I feel like it would be different if somebody else had already done it before you. That might set a precedent and it might kind of like inform your decision.
Well, if you think about it,
what I mean, but you're right. You're absolutely right. I know what you mean. I understand why you feel like that. And I understand from your history why that would be a thing that would feel inconsistent for you.
Here's something else that's interesting. When we had, because, you know, America's relationship with race is way different than Europe's. And when we had our first ever black president, Barack Obama, that birthed Trump, Trumpism, MAGA, and, you know, all these fucking lowlifes just crawled out of their fucking foxholes. And then all of a sudden, for the last 4 years, being racist was no longer a bad thing. Like, people were actually proud about it. They were brazen. They embraced it. And it's funny, though, because now that we have a black female vice president, it doesn't seem to be that controversial at all. And that's because Obama really like broke the gate open. He put a face to it. And now it's like, oh, this is a thing that happens. We don't like it, but it's a thing that happens. So it's interesting that once people can vision something the first time, once they see it the first time, that's the shock factor. And then it becomes more and more normalized, you know, for the people that have a problem with it. For everybody else, it's just like, yeah, this is fucking cool. I have no problem. But the sort of the point that I'm getting is could you imagine if a black president created Trumpism, what would a black Captain America create, right? Because think about how, if Captain America was real, think about what an icon that would be in Toby Keith's America, right? Like, think about down in the South, NASCAR America. Like, there would be fucking Captain America flags everywhere. Like, that would be their guy. And then they go, for the next Captain America, we're going to make it a black dude. Holy fuck. That would just fucking blow the wheels off the races.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. It's it would be really interesting to see, if I'm being perfectly honest. I you know, it feels like that's what they're leaning into with, you know, with the other, with the new Captain America, isn't it? It's almost like, you know, the, you know, squeaky clean white guy who, you know, who's everything. So
before we get into bringing our third guest on, Charlie, I have a sort of a question for you about this Captain America, because I found his character to be inconsistent, because basically we got teased with him at the end of episode one. And a lot of people thought that it was maybe the guy from Up that was going to be Captain America. Very similar chin, very similar bottom face as the guy from Up who lost his wife.
Right. Okay.
But this season, or episode two, we actually get to meet Captain America. And I found the character to be inconsistent, because we see him getting ready to do that Good Morning America segment, right? And he feels apprehensive, like he doesn't want to do it. Almost somebody who's sort of being forced into taking a hero's position, and like, you know, I'm no Steve Rogers. Like, that conflict would be very, very natural. And then we see him actually fall into fighting on that really fun on top of the two semis fight scene. And so then there he's sort of humble. I'm not really worthy to be with these other guys. I want to be accepting. Then we see him in the back of the Jeep, where he's even more humble and accepting. And then we see him a couple times after, and he's very, very cocky and conceited and has this swagger like, I'm the one that got Bucky out of detention. I'm the one who's pulling all this together. You guys, stay out of my fucking way. So my question is he reluctant to be a hero? Is he super humble and doesn't feel worthy and he needs to be with those guys? Or is he like cocky and arrogant and thinks that he owns the world? Because in one 50-minute episode, I saw three different slices of this guy's personality, and I'm trying to figure out which one is the one that I should put my faith into.
So he's the last one, is what he is.
He's cocky. Like, he's a cocky fucking dickhead.
Yeah, I think you could tell that. I think from the start when he was in the locker room, I think he seemed as though he was that, you know, the kind of like hometown hero kind of thing, you know, the quarterback who can't do any wrong kind of thing. And like, obviously they're trying to portray him as this, as this kind of like hometown good boy in that way. So I understand why it started out that way, but obviously he doesn't, at that point at the start, he doesn't see Sam and Bucky as enemies. He sees them as allies. Right. Like, he thinks, well, we can play along together. That's fine. I'm Cap. You know, you used to be friends with Cap, so let's do this. And he's not seeing it as a kind of like a negative thing. He's like, oh, let's all get along. Let's try, kind of thing. And then also, then what happens is it starts to ramp up from there, doesn't it? Because what happens is there's super soldiers, which is obviously not a good thing for, because he gets his ass handed to him, which is never a good thing. He's probably not used to that.
Is he a super soldier? Is he? He's just a regular human that they gave the costume to. They didn't give him the shot.
No. I don't think there's no real history of people having the shot.
So it's Bucky. Like,
that's not. It's Bucky
And the guy that they met in Baltimore.
Yeah, and there are other people, but like, you know, in Civil War, if you remember, like, there were experiments and there was like the serum and they were trying to kind of work on it. And Zemo, who they go to meet at the end of this movie,
right?
At the end of this episode, he kills everybody who's kind of in cryogenic sleep and stuff like that. So he, in his mind. He's got rid of everybody who could be a super soldier. He's kind of got rid of it.
So he's the, never,
you know, the idea was
he's the Hayden Christensen of he's the Hayden Christensen of super soldiers.
Yeah, yeah, he is. Yeah, the chosen one. But yeah, no, it's not something that ever really like stuck. So he's just a normal dude who is kind of like probably, you know, testing the limits of his boundaries in the same way that Sam is to a certain extent and stuff like that. But I think then, because he sees the super soldiers and then he also sees the conflict of Sam and Bucky not wanting to be a part of it and they're kind of like doing their own thing, he then has to kind of like turn the screw and be like, right, okay, well, if you're not with me, then you're against me. And they're now setting him up to be a bad guy. Like, I feel like it's fairly obvious where it's going.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard, again, because they kind of take source material and then they twist it. And they're like, oh, well, we're going to do this, but then we're also going to do that. And it's going to be quite different as well.
I just thought that, like, from what we saw before he went and did the Good Morning America appearance and then how he was acting in the back of the Jeep, I was waiting for like a, hey, guys, I know I'm not Steve Rogers. I know I don't deserve this. I know I don't deserve any of this, but I'm stuck in this spot and I need you to help me to do the best job that I can. And I thought that that sort of like empathetic plea would make those guys be like, all right, we can work with this dude. But instead, he went full Hollywood Hogan at the end. And maybe that's just when people are around, he's going to portray that and he's going to be more vulnerable when he's by himself or when he's with bootleg Chris Rock, or he's just kind of like hanging out on his own. Like maybe that's going to be something that we see, but something that drove me nuts about the opening of season two, before we bring on our third host, Charlie, is I didn't like how they started the show. Then they went to opening credits with the band music over it. I didn't like that because when the show, I love credits. I will never, ever skip opening credits. Opening credits get me like pumped up, psyched up that we're getting ready to do this. So I'll never hit that skip it button. Never in a million years.
Okay.
But
why?
Because like I just said, you know, woke up this morning, got yourself a gun. Like that makes me mean, all right, Tony Soprano is going to be fucking riding around in the GMC. You know what I mean? Like I just, the theme song gets me pumped up. So they did a little bit of show. They did the theme song, which sucks because then it takes me out of the story. And then another thing that they did that took me out of the story, very clumsy opening. The Good Morning America appearance is happening and the woman is talking, the host of the TV show is talking, and she has all of the reverb in her voice of speaking in an arena. But then they put up the hyper, like they put up the reel of the new Captain America, and the vocal switches to an in-studio vocal. And I go, guys, what are we doing here? Are we on a fucking football field, or is this a produced piece back in the studio? Like there was just some really weird things in the beginning where I was having a hard time emotionally committing to where the fuck I was at. And I know that's being really, really nitpicky on production.
Yeah. You're kind of coming out of this a little bit too fresh. I don't quite get it. That could be a pandemic thing that like, I can see how, know, this got delayed and I could see how maybe they didn't film in a football stadium. You know, or maybe they filmed some of it in there and then maybe they didn't quite have enough and they had to do stuff and obviously they can't fill a football stadium again right now and stuff like that. So it could be that. But I honestly, it's not something I noticed. I mean, one thing I will say that I did notice, which I'll pull you back up on, you know, before Charlie comes on, obviously, I'll pull you back up before we start this. But we, I thought that opening action sequence on the van, on the trucks was not good enough.
Oh, I thought it was good.
I think that you could really tell that it wasn't real. Like you could see the kind of like that they weren't there. You could see that the screen kind of didn't quite match the kind of the characters and stuff like that. And there were a few moments where it just kind of really felt like they could have spent a couple more weeks, kind of like, or a couple more million dollars or whatever. And it's the one thing that made me think, oh well, the budget wasn't quite there. This is a TV show and not a movie.
I found the semi fight scene to be better looking than the big fight scenes at the end of WandaVision. Like I thought it looked pretty good, but what I do with my job, I'm very, very sensitive to the way that the audio shifts around and the way that storytelling shifts around. So like seeing a little bit of story and then going into the Marvel, like, you know, that Marvel trailer that we see before all the shows, That should be the very first thing we see when we hit play, because that gets us pumped up like, yeah, we're going into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But showing me a little bit of show, then taking me out, it reminds me that I'm watching a show. I thought the fight scene looked pretty good, but I do have another little weird inconsistent. Like, Bucky yelling when he jumped out of the plane seems so not characteristic. Like, him being like, woohoo! Like, it just seems like he's the type of guy to be like, fuck, here I go. And he would just jump out and not say a fucking word and just hit every tree on the way down.
Yeah, no, I get that. Again, it's not something I really noticed. I must have half watched it compared to you. I wasn't really watching it with an analytical eye. I was watching it out of enjoyment. It's something that I kind of like, you know, we don't have much to watch. We have Cop Show and
Sexy Cop Show.
Bucky and Falcon.
Yeah.
And they're the two things. So I just sit down to kind of enjoy. But I'm going to disagree with you. Like, the Marvel logo thing, like, they fairly often do like a thing at the start and then bring the Marvel logo in. Like, that's not always the first thing you see.
I kind of felt like every time I'd ever went to the movies, we get that. It's almost like seeing, let me put it to you this way. If we saw a little bit of like a fight scene and then we saw the Lucasfilm logo and then the camera dropped down to a planet, you know what I mean? Like, wouldn't that ruin it for you? Like, don't you want to see the slanted text? Don't you want to see the Lucasfilm logo with that little sparkle go across it? The text that we need to read. And then the camera always drops down to a moon or to a battle. Like, it's like, boom, boom, boom. It gets you in there. If you do that in any other order, it fucking takes away the experience.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, dude, for Star Wars, yeah, I do want to see that, and that's fine. But for everything else, like, I don't mind. Like, I'm happy for people to mess around with stuff, honestly. I think that, I know that Endgame started, and it was like a smash cut space, Tony Stark and Nebula on the ship, and they were playing, you know, football with those flicker things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he kind of like falls asleep, and then Captain Marvel comes, and then the Marvel logo comes on.
Okay.
And the music, whatever that song is, okay, the Led Zeppelin thing comes on, and it flickers, and it does that, and it starts. I don't know. It's not something I have a problem with. I think I can understand what you're saying, because I think that it's all about momentum.
Yeah.
Like, especially in a show like this, where it's, you've got 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Tell your story.
Boom,
you know,
boom.
If you're telling a little bit and then you're going away and then you're not telling a lot and then your end credits are fucking 7 minutes long or whatever, like, you're containing things a little bit. But again, I don't mind, as long as there's enough of a reason. But yeah, I don't have an issue with it personally.
So I thought about this, and we're really going long before we bring Charlie on. So I don't know if we're going to be able to do everything we wanted to do with Charlie today. But this is the thing. How bad would it suck if you could fly and your friend that you were working with couldn't? It's so much worse than having one motorcycle. It's so much worse than having one remote control car, one drone. Like, it would not be fun at all to be like, fuck, I got to walk with this guy because he doesn't have a set of wings and I do. Like, you having a solo flying rig and your buddy, your coworker, doesn't have a flying rig, you might as well not even have a flying rig, man. What a fucking bum out. For poor Sam, to be like, I got to hang out with this fucking walking motherfucker.
I think that I think Sam's probably more thinking, oh, I wish I had that arm. Like, I would trade the wings for the arm and the super strength. What about yourself?
Do you think if you jerk off with the arm, it feels like somebody else is jerking you off?
I guess it depends on what his cock's made out of. is it real cock, or does he have a vibranium cock? Because if it's a real cock, then I would say he's probably learned to use the other arm.
I'm curious, because, you know, there's that trick where you like make your arm fall asleep so it doesn't feel like it's you.
I've never done it, but I'm into it.
You should try.
I'm massively into it.
You should try.
Yeah, that sounds good. So you like lean on it for a little bit,
yeah,
and kind of like loop, like, just get the blood to move away,
cut the blood off, and then when it starts tingling, you just go to business, and it just feels like a stranger. I would be interested to know how the is it vibranium arm?
Yeah,
yeah. I'd be interested to know how that feels.
Bucky's not jerking off, is he?
No, he doesn't.
Bucky, the guy who jumped out of the plane and shouted "woohoo," he's jerking off.
Oh yeah, that guy loves the fuck.
But But the White Wolf's not jerking off, is he? No. He's not in that hut at the end of Infinity War jerking off. Yeah.
And
yeah,
why?
Strange one.
While I'm bringing up dumb things that I noticed, two more quick ones for you. Hey.
Oh, these are going to be so good.
Me and my wife put together a dirty safe house for you. All we can give you to eat is liver, and all of the beds look like we just piled laundry up and put a comforter over it. But by the way, here's three monitors for your fucking hack setup.
So what? You're saying that this is like, it's on one end, it's too sophisticated, then on the other end, it's kind of like just base shit.
Yeah.
Is that your problem?
Like the worst looking beds and comforters that you've ever seen. The shittiest like snack you've ever seen, but dope three monitor setup for hacking.
Well, you can hack anything. Yeah.
Like,
no,
again. Like here's the safe house, guys. We got you three monitors and eight of the worst beds you've ever seen.
Again, I hadn't thought about it. Like you would think they would bring their own setup, wouldn't you?
Yeah, like on a road case.
Yeah, that would be way easier. Just do that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm not happy about that. I wouldn't be happy eating fucking livers. Fuck
and then
that.
My last favorite one was when they're like, "Sorry, Bucky, you missed your appointment." Which you know, it's like not seeing your parole officer. We got to take you down. And then they cuff him. Like, why would you even cuff Bucky? Like, if he's getting in that cop car, he's doing it on his own free will. There's no reason to put handcuffs on a guy with a vibranium arm who could jerk himself off like a stranger. You're fucking wasting your efforts.
What if they're vibranium handcuffs?
Do you know how expensive those would be?
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, the world's changed. It's been 5 years, and
so you know,
I think the world's changed.
That every did I just make myself have a bloody nose? So now, do you think that every random cop in Baltimore is carrying a pair of cuffs that they bought from the Wakanda police enforcement factory?
We know from the end of the Black Panther movie that they've opened up and they've started to share their resources, and what was previously a kind of like, you know, a once in a lifetime kind of like gift or something that, you know, people mined or stole is now available, and they've got loads
of it. Market.
Because that claw guy, the guy who had his arm chopped off, you know, Andy Serkis, was like, oh, they've got loads of it. They mine it forever. So it's not, you know, beyond the realms. What's better, to have standard grade handcuffs that anybody could kind of penetrate, or for everybody to have one pair of handcuffs for life? What's better? Maybe, I know what's better.
Fair point. I just don't know if that's what Baltimore's got in the budget. You'd have to think that Wakanda handcuffs have got to be fucking expensive, man.
I think maybe the budget might have been agreed upon when half of the world disappeared.
We only need half as many handcuffs.
Yeah. That's it. Half as many. So it didn't matter. Now they've got a problem. So only one of the guys. And also, if they're riding around in a car, only one of them needs them. No, that's not true, is it? Clearly not true. Yeah, it's a weird one, Mark. I hadn't thought about it. But yeah, you're right. Like, Bucky was more than happy. It felt like theater at that point. It was kind of just to show it off. But yeah, Bucky getting his vibranium arm handcuffed is crazy.
And the funny thing is we saw Sam getting racially profiled until they realized who he was inside of the window. Yeah. Of the young kid profiling him, but then Sam had profiled the OG Winter Soldier. So, you know, we got a lot to fix here in America, but let's do this. There you go, friends. There was part one of today's episode where Sean and I do a very different breakdown of what we consume in the world of pop culture each and every Monday. This is a fun series that we drop on Mondays that gives Circle of Trust members just like an easy way to slide into the week. It's fun to watch these shows. It's fun to comment on them together. And it's fun to bring the community together. These are the shows that each and every week get the most amount of comments, because many of us are in four different places in our career. We have different problems when it comes to clients, getting new work, managing money. But sort of the common thread is the water cooler, which is the TV show. And that's why comment below seems to be such a great way to start off the week. If you enjoyed this, consider becoming a member of the Circle of Trust at AID.network, where you'll get this show every Monday, interviews from Adventures of Design on Tuesday and Thursday, as well as our other shows we deliver, end each week with Hammer Time, and then They're Dead in the Middle, Disneyland for Designers with its bonus content. All of that is available, plus a back catalog of over 1,300 episodes and many of our workshops. If you sign up today at AID.network. What do you say we get into part two of Comment Below with Sean Mort, exclusively for members of the Circle of Trust at AID.network. You've now just heard 30 minutes of idiots reviewing this TV show. Let's bring on an expert. Let's bring on our friend Charlie, who's an expert. You can find Charlie over at Emergency Awesome, over on YouTube, over 3 million subscribers. Charlie, I don't even know how he lives his life because he puts up a video every single day doing a big deep dive on a new series, on a new trailer. So I thought so that you and I could bring these fucking nerds that listen to this show the most accurate Marvel coverage, because you and I, heaven forbid, we get a couple of things wrong. So Big Steve up in Canada is like, well, you know, I actually read the comics, Bricky, and you got confused on what the new Loki series is. We're now going to have Charlie come in here as our backup plan to make sure we get everything accurate. So here's the big breakdown on season one. These are all numbered. Sean and I are going to do a react. Charlie, welcome to the show.
But the episode is titled New World.
You're not going to say hi? Charlie's all work and no play, Sean.
No, I mean, sometimes you just got to get down to brass tacks.
All right, here's number one from episode one.
World Order, which is a reference to a bunch of different storylines and subplots. It's a reference to the aftermath of Avengers Endgame because it sort of deals with the direct aftermath and what's going on in the world, the chaos that's happening that they reference. The new version of the Super Soldier program, the Weapons Plus program that we saw during Incredible Hulk that Thunderbolt Ross had jump-started, because we see the brand new version of Captain America, the U.S. agent John Walker, Captain America. It's a reference to Baron Zemo's subplot during the series, the new Flag Smashers group, which is sort of a separate storyline, although it's implied that all those storylines are going to dovetail by the end of the series. In New World Order...
Holy shit.
That's, Charlie, take a breath.
That's the first Charlie. One, Charlie? Holy shit.
Charlie, so, hey, take a breath. That was one sentence.
Charlie,
calm down, man.
Charlie fucking loves Thunderbolt Ross. He will fucking talk about Thunderbolt Ross all the time. I didn't even know who Thunderbolt Ross was until I started watching fucking Charlie.
Brickley, Thunderbolt Ross is a jerk off. You'd love him. Absolutely love him. Get him on Hammer Time.
I think I have a version of Thunderbolt Ross already on Hammer Time. So... breaking down this first one, though, the first episode is called New World Order. Like, it is very interesting how the snap has, I mean, that's just going to be something they're going to talk about. It feels like forever, right? Like, that is a definitive moment in their history. Like, that's a 9/11, you know, times to quote the South Park
guy,
Team America. Yeah, that's 9/11 times 100 for these folks. Like, this is the snap. In a very odd way, that's their coronavirus year, right? But their coronavirus year was 5 years with half the world's population missing.
Yeah, man.
So
it's horrendous.
It's interesting to see. We've now seen two projects post this. And the amount of time that they spend talking about that, it's cool, though, that they set up something that's going to go the long haul. Three, Spider-Man Far From Home, right?
You've not seen it, though, so that's why you said we've seen.
Yeah.
So you're actually being accurate. It's just that I've seen three, so never mind. You call yourself an expert. Haven't even seen the last movie that they brought out. What's Black Widow again?
Black Widow?
What is it again? I don't know. Not going to see it.
Black Widow was this gang that Willis Drummond joined in Different Strokes, even though Mr. Drummond told him, whatever you do, don't get involved in a gang. So Will starts hanging out with these bad kids. He got this fucking badass satin jacket with an embroidered Black Widow on it. I wanted that jacket so bad. He started running with the Black Widows, and then they asked him to go too far, and he made a crime. He broke a crime, and then he felt really guilty about it, and he wanted out of the Black Widows. That's what Black Widow will always be to me.
Okay. Charlie, you good with that?
Let's see what Charlie's got for number two.
Order, as in the beginning of Falcon wielding the shield, the new version of Captain America, because that's kind of what the series is about. It's all about the process of Falcon eventually becoming the next Captain America. But as you can see, he starts in a really low place. But the episode...
Fucking iron in his own shirt. Why is the Falcon not in a more resourceful part of his life? Why is he being... You and I broke down why we think that he's being resistant on becoming Captain America. But why is he in such a broke down spot? Like, why don't Avengers fucking get paid?
And maybe it's because Tony's dead. I honestly don't know, because Bucky seems to be having it pretty sweet. he's got a nice apartment. He gets shit paid for it. I honestly don't know. I can't answer that. And it feels like a bit of an oversight.
It was interesting to me that in episode two, they don't want to take the ride with Captain Jerkoff. They're going to go their own way. So like, nah, we don't need to ride with you. And then they end up just chilling in the back of their own military airplane. So do these guys just have a crew that's sitting around ready to fly them wherever they want to go, whenever they want to go there? And like A-Wing or whatever, the little, you know,
Red Wing.
Yeah. Little R2-D2 got fucking aced out. So where is there going to be a budget to make another Red Wing, or is that done forever?
It's got to be. There's plenty of Star Trek about. You would imagine so. Honestly, I don't know. That's the thing. That's why we've got the expert on, isn't it?
Yeah. Charlie, number three.
Begins about 6 months or so after Avengers Endgame. So WandaVision takes place between 3 and 4 weeks after Avengers Endgame. Like the WandaVision finale takes place about 4 weeks after Avengers Endgame. So Falcon and Winter Soldier is taking place a couple months after that. They said the reason why they chose to have the series take place during this particular time period is because they wanted to get past the honeymoon phase of the blip, where everyone's just excited to be alive again. Like, yay, everyone's back. All my loved ones are back. And now, as you kind of see during the episode, reality has set in and it's chaos everywhere. Everyone's kind of gone back to being an asshole to each other. Even Falcon can't even get a bank loan because they claim he hasn't had income for the last 5 years, even though he had been snapped for that entire period. But the
I want to say this, Charlie, thank you for number three. I feel like after the stimulus packages that we've seen our country do, did you guys get any stimulus money over there? Did your country give you any money during the pandemic?